Let me try again to call in because it might be me.
Hello, it's Jordan.
Hi, this is Alec Wilson. Hi, Glenn.
And did I hear
Thomas
Rutherford?
Hi, this is Nick Sager, Graham.
Tony Harris. Mark Schneider, good evening, morning, whatever.
Hello, Ben. I was just trying to... Johnny Holmes, Johnny.
Well, since we haven't started, I'll ring off and call back.
Thank you.
Good evening, Thomas here.
Welcome, Thomas.
Jeff Newman.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Hello.
Hi, Carrie here.
Hello, Carrie. We have got nobody from the business constituency yet. Sorry, was that you, Pierre Sheen?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Bruce. This is Brian Darville.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Grant here.
Hello,
Brian. Lovely music.
Hi, this is Demi. I also joined the conference.
Hello, Demi.
Hi, Glenn.
Glenn. Hello, Philip, joining. Thank you.
Yes. Is Bruce on the call yet?
Not as far as I know.
Tony Holmes rejoining.
Hi, this is Kirk Pritz.
Hey, Glenn.
I'm just gonna I'm doing this little test here. I'm getting this bad echo, so I'm gonna call back. Okay.
Oh, the echo was on before you joined.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I think I have the same bad echo. Is that universal?
Oh man, that is big echo.
Big echo.
Mm. Everybody's got a big echo, I think.
Yeah, me too.
For my concurrence.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we should write meetings for the April papers for the April board meeting until after the March board meeting is over.
Well,
I
think 45 days ahead of time. Hey, Kurt.
Yeah.
Put yourself on mute.
Excuse me.
You should mute that conversation.
Oh, I did mute it. Okay.
It might be a good idea to point out to people that there is a way of muting the call if you don't have an automatic mute on your phone. I believe it's star 6, isn't it, Thomas?
That's right, it's 6.
Yeah. And then to unmute it, you just press star 6 again.
Star 6 again, yes.
Thank you. causing the echo by having people mute their phones and see if the echo goes away. It's just the thought of the echo is going to be on now for a long time.
Sorry to be late, it's Marilyn, but are we going to be able to get started soon? I will not be able to stay for the entire time. I apologize about that.
I think at the moment, Marilyn, the problem is we don't have a chairman.
Good evening, Philip.
Hello.
Christopher is back on the line without a beep, but... let's see how it goes.
Philip?
Glenn?
Yes?
I'm going to make a proposal. I just logged off and logged back on. According to the service, we have 23 people on the call right now. I'm going to propose that we ask Philip to step in and be the chair pro tem. And, Philip, maybe we could take care of housekeeping, you know, approving minutes and all of that stuff before Bruce gets here. And that way we will at least get some momentum going, and then as soon as Bruce steps in, we can let him take over. How does that sound to everyone?
Sounds eminently practical.
Thank you, Ken.
I don't think we need to have a formal election for the chair pro tem unless anybody objects. Philip, why don't you just go ahead and grab the podium?
Okay, Ken, thank you. I will do so. Let me just ask if anybody does object. Speak now or forever hold your peace. I'm hearing nothing. Thank you very much for your confidence. Let's kick off with item one, which is the approval of the minutes of the last meeting at the 22nd of January. Are there any comments or questions about those minutes?
I move for approval.
Thank you very much.
I second.
And that second from Demi, I think, was that moving by Ken?
No.
Thank you very much. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
All those against say no. Any abstentions say abstain. Thank you very much. That's approved. Nem con. Let me just scan the agenda now and see if there are other items that we can successfully do. And I think possibly the who is matters are something that Bruce would want to look at, but I could return to those in terms of the task force chair's report. Equally, Glenn, on item five, ICANN meeting in Rome, were you going to run us through the details that you have so far on that?
Fine, I'll do that. The meeting will start with on Monday afternoon at 6:30. The room still has to be decided, but it may be the Valesque room with the who is task force participants. And that meeting will be followed by a short GNSO committee meeting for the registry services PVP.
Tuesday, that's the full council, when you say
GNSO
committee?
Council, yes, that's the full council. On Tuesday morning, there will be the breakfast starting at 7:30, to which the board members have all been invited. That will be followed by the constituency meetings. Then, towards the end of the afternoon, at about 5:30, there is a meeting with the GNSO council members and the GAC.
Glenn?
Yes?
What time does the breakfast end?
The breakfast ends at 9 o'clock, when the constituency meetings are usually start.
Thank you.
On Wednesday, there will be the three Who Is Task Force workshops and the Registry Services PDP workshop. These will be followed by the council meeting in the afternoon, which will be about 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Bruce Tonkin joining Glenn.
Bruce, thank you very much. Felicity, I'm temporarily chairing the meeting in your absence. We've done item one, and Glenn was just taking us through the timetable on item five. So let me hand back to you, and perhaps you can finish off on that.
Okay. Apologies for being late. I had a slight problem with the alarm set for PM instead of AM. Okay, planning for the ICAO meeting in Rome. And where are we up to on that, Glenn?
I've got to Wednesday, and I'll be going to go on to Thursday. Your recommended 9 to 11 meeting, Bruce, of the council for the registry committee.
Right.
The room has not yet been allocated, but there will be a room, so don't worry about that.
Bruce, I'd like to speak on that topic for just a minute, if Marilyn.
Yeah, sure.
I would propose if we could to start at 8:30, because there is another community-wide event that will be starting at 11, and it would really they'd really bump us very tightly against each other. Even an additional 15 minutes would be helpful.
Right, so you were suggesting going from until what, say 10:30 or?
Well, if we started at 8:30, we could go to 10:30, which would give us still the 2 hours.
Yes, look, the question I suppose is how much time we need on it, and it's a little bit dependent on what we cover during the actual workshop on Wednesday, but the reason for trying to allocate a block of time is just that we need to, I guess, try and make progress on the approval process, and once we all sort of leave from Rome and get back into our day jobs, it becomes increasingly hard to get time. So I thought if we allocated some extra time on Thursday and try and really get down to starting to draft the process, then we've got something that we can create an initial report which can then go out to public comments. So that was kind of the idea. So I think you're right. I think if we just allocate 8:30 to 10:30 and we can adjust that on the Wednesday depending on how much time we how much material we cover on the Wednesday workshop. I guess the other issue would be whether we get to find a meeting room. Have you had a chance to have a look at that at all, Glenn?
Yes, we will definitely have a meeting room. I haven't yet got the exact name of that, but as soon as I do, I will let you know. Diane says there will be no problem.
Okay, that's good. And you've covered, we've got a meeting with the GAC on the Tuesday afternoon.
That's right, I covered that, and that is in the same room where the GAC will meet, which is called New Willow.
Okay, and the other thing that
Bruce,
sorry, go ahead.
Christopher here. As I think you all know, it would be convenient for the GAC, more than convenient, actually, desirable if that particular slot could be brought forward earlier in the afternoon. But I don't want to take time over that in this conference call. If it's not possible, we stick to the existing slot. But for internal economy reasons in the GAC, it would be preferable to have it earlier.
Okay, so it's currently at 5:30 p.m., is that correct?
Correct.
What do others think of... I mean, if it was brought forward an hour, I suspect police for registrars, it probably wouldn't be a big issue if it was 4:30 instead of 5:30. It's mostly by the time we've got to that time of the day, you know, most of the main topics have been covered. Do others have a feeling of whether they could bring it forward an hour?
I think from the business constituency perspective, we could bring it forward an hour, but not much more than that.
Yeah, that's probably my feeling as well. What about others, without the registry and constituency. All right, well, let's try, let's bring it forward an hour. Would that make a difference for you, Christopher?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, let's bring it forward 1 hour then and make it 4:30 p.m. on the Tuesday. The other thing I'm trying to organise is...
Thank you very much, by the way.
Thank you. Is an informal lunch between council members and the ICANN staff, but principally Kurt and Barbara and Paul Verhoff. And I'm not sure where that's up to, but that might be something that gets done a little bit dynamically, but we're thinking potentially on Tuesday lunchtime. How would that...
That makes Tuesday an extremely busy day, Bruce. Is it
does. Every day is a bit busy, though, I must say, yeah.
Is it,
I don't think I could do it on Wednesday either, so I mean, it should be...
Right. Is it possible to do it Monday, or is that impossible due to travel?
It could be an issue for me, yeah.
Okay. Right. It's just that, and how much time did you have in mind? Because it sounds like we are eating into constituency time pretty extensively. If we start at 12 and go to 2, and we've now cut an hour off the end of the constituency meeting that day...
Yeah, I was envisaging we probably wouldn't have 2 hours. It would probably just be an hour or... I mean, I think we had something fairly similar in Tunisia where a group, I guess, just spontaneously got together. And I think that was probably... That wouldn't have been any more than an hour, I don't think. But, you know, the alternative is we try for something on Monday. You know, maybe we try for something early Monday afternoon, even if it's not lunch, even if we just sort of get together for an hour or so. You know, maybe 2 o'clock or something on Monday.
That might actually be easier for people in terms of interacting.
Yes.
This is Kurt.
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
Monday is a day where the board committees meet, such as the finance committee, the meetings committee. So as that schedule firms up, if you want to try to do that, and then, you know, the open ALAC meetings in the late afternoon. So if you want to try to do it Monday, we'll just ensure that we can, you know, I'm just saying we might have to play it by ear a little bit because we'll have to dance around those committee meetings that are still sort of floating. They're not nailed down yet either.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we might have to sort of deal with it a little bit dynamically. We will be having a chance. I think Kurt and others have been invited on the Tuesday morning breakfast with the council. So certainly, you know, some issues can be raised there. And other than that, we might just need to be a bit dynamic. I mean, we've got, Glenn's certainly got everyone's email addresses, and if we can sort of find a time on Monday to get together, you can probably just email around and sort of grab who's available.
Yeah, this is Kurt again. I'll work with Glenn, and we'll pick a firm time, and then so we know that it's allocated and it's there.
Okay, that's good. Okay, well, I think that's everything on item 5. Now, have we done the minutes, Philip, of the last meeting?
That's correct, yeah. Item 1 was done and approved.
Okay. Great, and we've done item 5. Okay,
Bruce,
if we... Yeah.
Bruce, I'm sorry, actually, we didn't complete item 5. The WISIS presentation?
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Just very quickly, there is planned a WISIS presentation that begins at 11 and ends at 1 on Thursday and is open to the entire community, and invitations have gone out to either chairs of constituencies or the entire elected representatives of the constituencies and others to participate in the event. And again, it is 11 to 1 on Thursday.
Okay. Okay, on the item two, which is the timelines for the WHOIS task forces, I met with the chairs of the WHOIS task forces about a week ago, and the dates that we were looking at there was setting a date of March 19th to the constituency statements, April 9th to prepare the preliminary report. Then there's a public comment period, and that would close at the end of April, and then another 3 weeks or so to prepare the final report, aiming at 20th of May. That then allows the council to consider it in June, and then hopefully the board can then consider those issues in its meeting in Kuala Lumpur. So I guess if that is Jordan or Jeff or Brian on the call?
I think we're all on.
Yes. Is those dates still in accordance with what your task forces believe is achievable?
This is Jeff. Yeah, that's the dates that we've settled upon.
Brian, we're working under those dates as well, Bruce.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Okay, what I might do then is, if possible, get the council members to endorse those dates, because we'll then notify the board that that's the expectation that we're having in regard to the timeframes for those who is task forces. Is there any further discussion on those dates from any other council members? Okay, all in favour of endorsing those dates, please say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll note those dates as endorsed. I'll just briefly go through each of the task force's chairs and just get a brief update on progress. Perhaps starting with Task Force 1, Jeff?
Yeah, just our progress, it's been pretty good. We've distributed a survey. To date, we've only received about 5 or 6 responses to the survey. So the responses have been pretty good that we've gotten so far. But obviously, we also sent the survey out to all the constituencies to see if they could find others to that they know of that use WHOIS information for what we call non-marketing purposes. The more data we have, obviously, the better we will be able to, in the end, discuss the issues of restricting access of, for example, Port 43 access of WHOIS information. So it's very vital to a lot of the constituencies to really take a look at the survey and to get us responses, get us your position statement, and find any groups that you know of that could respond to the survey. So that's what we're doing now. We're also in the process of compiling a needs and justifications chart, which is one of our milestones to basically set forth all the needs and justifications that different organizations have for the WHOIS data. So we're in the process of doing that, and that is what we intend to present in Rome in order to help us develop the policy.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Brian, Task Force 3, I think.
Sure. We have completed the survey of the registrars. Although we had sent the survey out, Inclusion and Ed survey, as well as to the other CCTLD organizations, we were informed today by ICANN staff that the CCTLD's group have instead decided, than responding to the survey, that they are having a paper prepared regarding WHOIS issues, including data accuracy. I think Philip Kane is preparing that. And that paper is being considered in Salzburg this week and should be available. So we'll have to wait and see what that says. But that apparently is going to be the only feedback we get from the CCTLDs concerning WHOIS data accuracy. With respect to the survey to the companies and other industries that has gone out. Responses are trickling in rather slowly, but we have gotten some substantive responses. And we will be preparing and circulating an annual report next Wednesday to be available for the workshops in March.
This is Barbara. Can I have a moment?
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
I'm sorry. The CC group that is meeting in Salzburg is center. That's not all of the CC. So just, I mean, it's not like a uniform CCTLD response. That's the center group.
Right. No, I understand that, but I guess the information that that was provided to me was that the paper that's being prepared was would embody not only the mission of the CCTLDs who are members of Center, but also others. But personal knowledge of this, so I can't really. What I'm relaying is hearsay.
And Bruce, this is Marilyn. I would be very surprised by that. Because, I mean, perhaps Center has reached out to other CCTLDs, and that could be clarified, but...
Cet appel est interrompu. Veuillez réessayer plus tard. Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw.
This call is interrupted. Please try again later.
Dieser Anruf wurde unterbrochen. Bitte später noch einmal versuchen. Cet appel est interrompu.
I just said I'd be very surprised about that. Perhaps we could have that clarified because Center may have surveyed other CCTLDs, but my last discussion was that this was the Center membership.
Okay, well, that very well may be the case. And all I can say is with respect to the distribution to the other CCTLDs, ICANN staff was going to distribute the survey to them, so... we'll get some feedback there as to whether or not Center CCTLDs will be responding. But in any event, that's where we are, and we'll try to get clarification on that issue because I do want to address it in the interim report that's going to go out a week from today.
Yeah, I think one of the things council members can do that from a variety of different countries is to encourage your own CCTLD to respond. So certainly I will contact the .au CCTLD manager and encourage them to respond directly. And if others, you know, we've got quite a diverse membership of the council, could encourage their relevant country, that would help as well.
Hey, Bruce, this is Jeff Newman.
Yeah, Jeff.
Just as a CCTLD for... US. Did you send this individually to each of the CCTLDs?
This is Barbara. No, it was distributed to the CCNSO for distribution to their membership, and it was forwarded to Center. And and then we posted it on the webpage, and those were the outreach that we did.
All right. I'll commit to getting it done for .us at least.
That'd be great, Jeff. Thanks.
This is Bruce. Can I join the queue?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I was going to make the comment that Barbara made, if she hadn't done so, and secondly that. I suspect that quite a few CCTLDs will go back to their own national authorities to ask them what the answers really are. It is going to be quite difficult to get individual responses from 250 CCTLDs for these questions. This is not a criticism of the questions, but I think one has to be realistic as to how this process will go forward vis-a-vis CCTLDs in many parts of the world.
Yes, I certainly don't think they're trying to attempt an exhaustive sample. It's just trying to get some ideas on how it's been handled in other places to give some guidance to the task force. It's not intended to be trying to survey the entire world, I think.
Right. I mean, I think the best we can probably hope for is to get enough examples that we at least have a sense of what some of the CCTLDs are doing, as well as the other groups are going out, and to use that as a basis for going forward.
Yeah. Okay. Jordan, if you could update us on Task Force 2.
Yeah, sure. No problem. I think a fairly similar position to the other task forces. We've distributed questionnaires now to each of the GNSO constituencies, as well as to the CCTLDs in the form of the CCNSO launching group and center, and an additional questionnaire was sent to the GAC. We have, unfortunately, some of the, those were not distributed quite as early as we would have ideally liked, so we've had to push back our dates when we're expecting some of the data back by a little bit, but we're starting to see data come in at this point, and we'll be starting to compile that into a usable format or user-friendly, readable format over the next, starting immediately. We've actually already identified a number of three teams composed of the various task force representatives in order to analyze different portions of the data, and the teams have been starting to work towards developing methodologies and as well as templates and so on in order to deliver that data back to the task force, and we hope that we'll be able to compile that in a relatively timely manner and start to use it to actually make policy as well as to provide something useful for people to look at their own meeting.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Just a reminder to all council members that in respect of producing the GNSO constituency statements, that if each of us could raise this in our respective forums in Rome on the Tuesday to try and sort of move things along and start drafting the constituency statements, the more we can achieve in Rome, the better, so that we can meet the date of March the 19th for receiving constituency statements. And also just a reminder to all council members, in respect to the questionnaires, if you could make an effort to, whether it's within your constituency or within your other circle of contacts, to try and get as many responses to the questionnaire as possible, will also be helpful.
May I join the queue?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
The GAC working group on has received the questionnaires that you've sent us, and they will certainly be reviewed and discussed in the Rome meeting. I can't say exactly how the replies will be forthcoming. There's a sense in which, if European legislation works properly, one reply should be adequate for all the countries that are implementing the European Privacy Directive. In the rest of the world, I imagine that we'll have great difficulties in producing a consistent and comprehensive reply, but we'll be discussing that in Rome and come back to you. And I'm sure that Bruce will address this when he talks to the GAC with your presence.
Okay.
Meet after next.
Good. Yes, it would certainly be useful to have a dialogue on that topic with the GAC. Okay, item three, which is the summary of the constituency positions. Barbara has, I guess, summarised in short form the main approach that each constituency has taken, and then has identified areas of agreement, which is that the process should be timely, that there can be a two-track process, a quick look and a fast track, that there needs to be mechanisms to ensure that the process is transparent and predictable. That it's important to define the terms and criteria that are going to be used in the process. that there was the sense that rather than relying on a registry making its own determination based on the contract, that many of the constituencies preferred an independent reviewer, that being ICAM, to approve a change. That there was important that there's reporting of the process, that there's mechanisms for the registries or others in the communities to seek remedy if the process is, in their view, made an error, that the process needs a specific timeline to give predictability, and that depending on the seriousness of the change, that if there is a substantial change that will affect the community, that the community has the right to participate. So I guess those are good guiding principles, and then the next task is really to go through the detail of what to do. So perhaps in this meeting, if we could get a sense of whether we agree those guiding principles or if we want any changes to those principles before we then sort of move on and start fleshing out an actual process. So I invite it to anybody that would like to join the queue to comment on the summary of constituency statements and whether those sets of principles are in agreement.
Bruce, it's Grant here.
Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
I don't think there's anything I've read that I disagree with. I guess it's more to the point that there's not much there to agree or disagree with. I think that in order to move on, certainly from our constituency's point of view, there's obviously going to need to be a more detailed melding together of the various ideas that the various constituents have been put together. And I suspect that as with most of these things, it's when we get down to the detail that there may be some differences of view as to how and which of those details one or the GNSO should gravitate towards. So my comment is that I think there's a great deal more work need to be done to line up the detail that has been provided by the constituencies. And I should note that for our part, I am remiss in not forwarding more detail, which I will do very shortly, to assist in that process. But I just want to make that comment, because I don't think that we've kind of started on the progress yet.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's useful in the sense that we've got a set of general principles. I mean, for example, there is a quick look and a fast-track process proposed here, and I guess it would be useful to get some agreement on that. But then, as you say, the devil's in the detail. So whether you're comfortable with a two-pass process depends very much on how the first pass is defined. If the feeling is that nothing will get into the second pass, then most people will probably not be comfortable. What I was planning to do in terms of the organisation of the workshop in Rome was firstly to state the problem and see if there's any public comment from the floor, but then move more into a traditional workshop in the sense of actually putting up a draft process based on the contribution so far and pretty much editing it live on the screen. So, a kind of a block diagram of the sets of decisions that need to be made and some criteria for what those decisions need to be and get input from the council members during that process. And if we haven't reached some sort of significant convergence by the end of that workshop, which will probably be likely, that we continue that process on to the Thursday morning with the objective to actually end up with a complete draft process. So that's kind of what I was suggesting as a way to move forward. Are there any other inputs or comments on this statement so far?
Yeah, Bruce, it's Marilyn. I guess I would just follow up a little bit with what Grant has said. I think that perhaps we can just take this conversation up at another time later in the agenda, but I think one of the things that's very, very important, even though this is a new PDP process, is for us to all get a better understanding of what is needed in order to advance the work in terms of deliverables, the dates that we're going to get materials, et cetera.
Yes, I think that's kind of an issue of setting expectations for what we're wanting at each step, and essentially none of those expectations are written down or documented at this stage. So I think we need to progressively start doing that as part of the PDP process, and really as part of how we interact with the ICANN support staff and with the chairs of the relevant task forces. So yeah, I think that's a valid point. Are there any other comments on the summary so far? Okay, well, as I suggested, what the format that I'm intending to use in the workshop is to have a period where we outline the purpose of the policy development, in other words, a summary of the issues, identify in brief terms the input from each of the constituencies, and then invite comments from the floor, and then move on to a more formal workshop where we essentially go through and start drafting the approval process. I think what we should do, is Alejandro on this call? Okay. Might skip item four for the moment and go to item five, which is the expectations for GNSO policy support. Philip, you've produced a set of guidelines for at least on the issues report. Did you want to speak to them?
Yes, I will happily, Bruce. I think it came through at the start of the policy development process that we were working on something new. We had experience with Louis Tuton originally being the staff manager doing the reports, and now with the new recruitment and organization of ICANN, we've had Barbara and others who have been embarking on that process for us. And one of the things I think was clear was that although there is some guidance in the bylaws as to what these things are supposed to achieve, exactly what the expectations were in terms of content was missing. And therefore, I thought it useful just to draft that out based on the experience we've had of the first few PDPs. And as you saw back in December, produced just a one-page description of what we'd expect to see in the very first report, which is the ICANN Staff Manager's Issue Report, which basically says back to the GNSO, yes, this is an issue to go forward to make a PDP. That's been with Council for some time. I also forwarded again today, just as a reminder, together with the comment we had back in December, also from John Jeffrey, General Counsel, in which he was just welcoming the fact that writing. It's presented just in terms of guidelines so that we could hopefully meet expectations and therefore move forward with an efficient process.
Yeah, so I guess the objective of the issues report is to identify the issues and kind of establish a format for a terms of reference, and naturally that will be edited or adjusted by the council, but I guess the real outcome that we're looking at out of the issues report process is, one, is this issue worth considering, and two, what would be the terms of reference to consider the issue. One
exactly
of the things
so.
I note and welcome input from the ICANN staff on this, but I guess on some reports people feel that they've written too much information, such as the issues report, and on the other the feeling, and the feeling is that, you know, they've put in a lot of material that may be their own views. And then on another side, when we get in constituency statements, the perception is that perhaps they haven't gone far enough, and my understanding is they're probably concerned that if they, especially in the topic of an approval process that will be used by the ICANN staff themselves, if they did go ahead and draft a detailed process based on the constituency statements, they may again be accused of putting too much material. So, would you like to comment on that, Barbara, just on your experiences of putting the reports together on what you thought was required?
Sure. I have to say that I personally would welcome, you know, better guidelines for what is expected in these reports, with the understanding that there's going to be some differences between the reports that are, for instance, in the issues report for issues that arise because the board is asking you to consider it versus issues that arise because you have developed it as a PDP that you want to determine the relevance of. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that something that's arising from outside of the council as a proposed PDP may require greater description or explanation than something that has developed through discussion within the council. But aside from the issue report, I think there is a concern, has been a concern on my part, to not too greatly characterize or summarize the materials that I get from others, particularly the constituencies, in light of not wanting to be accused of slanting their view, politicizing their view, or of misrepresenting their view. And I think that's something that guidelines on would be very helpful, you know, what kind of summary is expected, how far to go in terms of comparing one constituency's proposals to another. In general, I would say more guidelines are better.
Hello,
Alejandro Pisanti has joined the call.
Thanks, Alejandro. Any other comments on the, in particular, on the task of summarising constituency statements? How do others feel that should be done? Because I can certainly see that there's certainly a concern that by trying to summarise statements that any individual may be seen to be biased depending on how the statement is characterised.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. Can I join
the queue? Yeah, go ahead.
And Bruce, can I join the queue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Grant.
Marilyn, then Grant.
I'm not really in agreement that it's that difficult. Those of us who work in policy development professionally have, over time, developed experience and tools in terms of trying, to do that. And I think that when you're analyzing constituency reports, there may be things like side-by-sides, which are helpful to do. It is important to remain neutral. But I think the whole point of doing it, there is a review process and a comment process, and constituencies should be able to, help to then modify if they feel there was a judgment being applied to their contribution. And I think, in fact, one of the great values of having staff and why this council was so strongly in support of having staff is because of the neutrality aspect that was introduced by having staff to, provide some of this structural support.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. Grant?
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, when I started to look at it and when I got the summary statement back, I guess as I noted before, it's not so much what it says, it's all that it doesn't say. And I think what would be useful, for instance, we have been asked to propose a process, and it would be, I think, quite useful to just produce a diagram of each of the processes that have been proposed. You can almost map one onto the other. The other thing which I think most of us will have an interest in is the time frames that various constituencies have proposed. And again, if one just does a simple timeline for each of the processes that have been proposed, one can quickly see that, for instance, perhaps one process is a 10-day process and someone else's is a 10-month process. One might see that, you know, a decision point comes only at the end of 3 months or at the end of 3 days, depending on what process is being proposed. So that, to me, would be very, very useful because I think, as you noted, while we may all have agreed that there should be a quick check process, in my reading of the proposals that have been put forward, what some characterise as a quick check process is quite different to others. So all I'm saying is I think there are, and there will need to be, and it will be very helpful to have those sorts of comparisons, whether they're just a side-by-side table, whether they're side-by-side timelines, and whether they're just flow diagrams that show just where in each of the proposed processes there are different decision points, etc. So that I think would be useful for us to, one, to see how close in some cases we are and just where the fundamental differences are.
Yes, I think that's right, and I think I'm certainly...
Did we lose Bruce?
Hello.
I think we did. It wasn't supposed to be that profound.
Hello.
I'm sure he'll be back on. He probably just has to dial back in.
It might take him a minute to realize that he's not on the call.
Hello. This is Alejandro Pisanti.
Good evening, Alejandro. Hi, how are you? This is Christopher.
Ciao. Yeah, Alejandro, we have lost our chair for the moment. I wonder if we might return Philip to relying on you.
Okay, why not? Let me just do that while Bruce is hopefully dialing back in. I think we've possibly coming to the end of discussion on this second item 5, I noticed. Are there any other thoughts on the last 2 points of the item there, which in terms of timelines, deliverables, and reporting structure? We've spoken in general, I think, about what an issue score should look like. We've had some perhaps specifics of what the next, in particular, registry services report could be like. Other thoughts on those last two items?
It's Marilyn, and I'll just make this statement, and then perhaps I can reserve my statement, most of my conversation for the following item on the PDP. I urge us to suggest that Glenn keep a sort of a documentation, and that Barbara do the same, of the timelines we are working under and where we have to modify them. I think we're learning a lot about the feasibility of the timelines. The guidelines for producing the issues report, I think, are adequate as they are, but I do think we have to just be cognizant that some of the expectations on deliverables may not be achievable. We were, after all, not working from a base of extensive knowledge.
I think it's probably right, and it may indeed be useful for a year or 18 months down the line to have those figures in front of us so we can review it, and if necessary, propose a formal change to the PDP timelines so that we then adjust those based on the reality of our own experience. Other comments on this? If not, then let me move formally for an adoption of the guidelines for the ICANN staff manager's issue report. Do I have a seconder for that?
I'll second that, Philip. This is Ross.
Thank you very much. Ross, all those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no. Any abstentions, please say abstain.
Philip, can I ask a question? It's Grant here.
Yep. Thank you very much. Just note that's passed.
Bruce, Grant, I just phoned again. I got kicked off, unfortunately.
Hello, Bruce. I was just chairing in the meantime again. We had a bit more discussion on the last couple of items there, on item five. We agreed it would be useful for both Barbara and Glenn to keep a track of the actual timelines of PDPs over the next year or 18 months, so we can then see if it's necessary to revise the formal timelines we have. We've just taken a vote on the guidelines for the ICANN staff manager's issue report, and that vote was passed nem con. And Grant was about to ask a question, so let me pass back the chair to you and perhaps let Grant speak.
Okay,
thank you, Philip. Thank you, Bruce. My question actually flows from the decision we just made to adopt that report on guidelines, and it really goes to back to the previous conversation, which you were part of, Bruce, before you disappeared, and that is the current staff report, or most recent staff report, on the registry's process. And my question, I guess, for Barbara is, is she going to be producing any, or is she able to produce any further report as a contribution input to the workshop in Rome?
This is Barbara. I certainly would be able to produce additional work. I'm hearing that the comparison of timelines and comparison of workflow would be extremely helpful to people, and so, you know, that's something I wrote down as potential items to work on if you guys choose to request that.
Yeah. Can I suggest, as a kind of helpful thing, that to me there would be three useful things that I would see as useful going into such a workshop. One is a timeline, or multiple timelines if it gets too complicated to put it on one piece of paper, of the various proposals put forward. Two is a decision type tree to reflect the process as proposed. And again, if they all could be mapped onto one, that would be nice, but if not, multiple. And three is really a side-by-side comparison, just in a columnar form, of the key components that come out of the various proposals. So the first question, I guess, if one thinks of this, is would be what processes are recommended by a particular constituency to need to go before ICANN, and that the definition of that or the characterization of that from each constituency could be reflected in a different column, so we can see just where the thinking is. That to me would be most helpful. I do it myself, except I don't have the time. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that would be useful, and I'm happy to work with Barbara if she's able to do some of that. I guess what would help me in a lot of these things is having material sufficiently in advance so that I can at least have a look at it and make suggestions, perhaps in terms of length. Certainly with the GNSO Secretariat, with regards to the minutes, Glenn gets those to me reasonably promptly, and sometimes if they're too wordy, I would, you know, suggest reducing them or cutting them down. And sometimes if they're not wordy enough on an important issue, I'd suggest putting in more detail. Glenn works off the tapes of the call, and then it's just a matter of you know, whether all the main points are captured in a succinct set of minutes. So that similarly, for some of these reports, I can at least say, you know, give some guidance to the staff manager if I have drafts early on, rather than waiting until it's too late and we really need to get the draft to council. And thanks for your suggestions there, Grant. I think they are will be certainly useful to structure the discussion that we have in the workshop. In response to item six, which is the council and PDP review, one of the things that I will discuss with the board on behalf of the council on the Tuesday morning breakfast is perhaps just comment a bit on the timelines and the fact that with the WHOIS task forces, there was a data collection phase needed. And I think most people agree that it's important to actually have useful data on particular issues when we are about to conduct policy work so that we have an agreed set of information.
Cet appel est interrompu. Veuillez réessayer plus tard. Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw. This call is interrupted. Please try again later. Dieser Anruf wurde unterbrochen. Bitte später noch einmal versuchen.
I'll certainly be raising that issue with the board sort of informally in the breakfast meeting just to set some expectations and identify areas in the process that necessarily take a bit of time. Going back to item four, which is the election process for ICANN board seat 13, Glenn reminded me, and thank you very much for that reminder, that we did need to reappoint board seat 13 by April. What I had suggested to council is a two-week period to nominate candidates for that role. But I haven't actually had a chance to get input from all council members on the process. But the process so far was a 14-day nomination period, and that roughly ends today. So the first bit of feedback I'd like is, do council members feel that they need more time to provide additional nominations, or are we comfortable that we've had enough time, 15 or 14 days? Would anyone like to comment on that issue first? Okay, I take it then that the council is comfortable with the 15-day nomination period. So far we have Alejandro nominated, and I've invited Alejandro to perhaps make a statement to council on his suitability for continuing on another term with the ICANN board. Are you still on, Alejandro?
Yes, I was just going to ask you if you wanted me to stay on the call or to first have the discussion and then have me join again.
No, I'm happy for you to stay on the call. If you'd like to just make a statement on why you think you would be a suitable candidate for ICANN board seat 13.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Morning, afternoon, evening, or night, whatever you have in the place that you are. This is Alejandro Pisanti speaking. I'm presently in Mexico City. It's cool but very sunny down here for the envy of all of you further north. I have been following this process and waiting, of course, for the formal approval of it before participating. So thanks for the invitation and everybody. It seems clear that this is now the time to make this statement. I am intending to continue for one more period and on the ICANN board of directors. As you know, the rules we wrote make it impossible for me to go for more than one period now, one term, because we wanted to ensure rotation and refreshing and recapitulating of the board through the transition article and in the rotation provisions of the new bylaws, which are now fully in effect. I intend, if elected, to work further in strengthening ICANN, making it receptive and put ICANN more in contact with other organizations that are also vying for roles in the fields where ICANN is active. I am among the board members, I think, one of the most insistent keeping ICANN to its set mission and field, and to avoid a number of temptations and a number of calls for ICANN to step out of its mission and include some other tasks and topics. We have unfortunately been under increasing pressure from the process around the World Summit for the Information Society, or WSIS, to enter discussions with other organizations of people all over the world that have been in a way distracting us from the actual substantial work of ICANN. But I think that the challenges that WSIS presents for ICANN are extraordinary, and we have to keep on with them. The way ICANN is working is improvable, of course, but it should be seen and set as an example of what the Internet community has been able to do, including, of course, the participation of government, but not having to wait to be led by it. The self-regulation, and it's not only an industry self-regulation, because we also have the non-industry part, like users, the at-large community, the non-commercial community, and so forth, making part of the of ICANN. This has to be followed as much as possible and as clearly as possible as an example for the way other information societies things are done. But ICANN has both to propagate the example and stick strictly to its mission. I perceive that there are some other organizations. One would think of WIPO or the ITU, among others, who may be better suited to act in fields that are outside ICANN's purview, and some parties and governments in many countries that are tempted also to not understand what the Internet community has done to ICANN and try to bring these things into more traditional governmental and intergovernmental fields. I think that there we have a long-term strategic goal of strengthening ICANN and keeping its mission and propagating how things that work well do work well. And internally, this brings, of course, to a number of improvements which still need a lot of work, on which I intend to work if elected. One of them is, of course, finishing the constitution of ICANN through a more active working relationship with the RIR, their full membership through the ASO, which is already there but has to be enriched, and of course bringing in the CCNSO, launching it and having it work proactively and help the interaction between the CCNSO and the GNSO in order that the fields where there are overlap or coinciding interests and principles, they collectively work together. I have been asking people for their sentiments, feelings, perceptions, and actual needs, and I perceive a need to insist in improving the operations, the IAN operations, and other ICANN management and office operations, which I'll be personally looking more closely into ways that this can be more sensitive, in particular to the needs of the GNSO. But again, the GNSO being the most active and most solidly constituted part of the supporting organizations of ICANN, it's also a very good barometer of where we have to make improvements for all other functions and for functioning to all other parts of ICANN. There are questions like those related to the new GTLDs, both the ones that are about to be open to the RFP, and longer-term questions about GTLDs, where I think we have a number of issues on which to work. And we have pressing issues like the WLS and the recent developments with internationalized domain names, where a lot of sensitivity is going to be needed in order for the board to have good information, good criteria to make decisions, and a lot of communication with the GNSO. I also intend to work on those fields, which would be, let's say, the internal to ICANN, as well as those, specifically pertinent for the GNSO, as well as I mentioned, the constitution of ICANN as a whole, and the relationship between ICANN and the outside environment. I would like to stop there and be open for questions or comments or discussion.
Okay, would anyone like to ask a question of Alejandro?
No.
I just had one comment, and that was just from my sort of point of view as a registrar, in some of the processes within ICANN, I think ICANN is doing well in its liaison with outside bodies, such as with CCTLDs and with the ITU and otherwise. But I think there also would be useful to have some metrics or performance guidelines that could be set for ICANN as an organisation in other areas. So, for example, in responding to policies that have been created by the GNSO and actually getting those implemented, because we've had the who is transfers and deletes policies all approved by the board last year, and none of those have been completely implemented yet. So it's just a comment that I will probably repeat to others in Rome, but I just wondered whether you had any response on that.
Bruce, I have heard some of this need, and I would like to work with you, and if there's anybody else from the council that would get into a more one-on-one conversation so that we can have a clearer list, clearer, more detailed and more concrete picture of what is needed. There is continuing dialogue with Paul Toome, with Jeffrey, and with Chris about this, and we should go into more detail in order to be able to convey the need and, as you say, to evaluate the performance and to assess it continuously in order to improve it also continuously. Although no one likes micromanagement and having the horse go into a gorge, where we definitely need to be very sensitive, and it will be particularly a responsibility I have to take up with an action from the GNSO. And the practical proposal I have is to work more closely with you and, as I said, anyone else from the council that takes up this task. In fact, I would propose not to wait for the breakfast in Rome for me to be, you know, informed and able to transmit opinions in more detail, so that by the time we all meet in Rome, we already have an idea of how to make progress.
Thanks for that, Alejandro. Any other questions or comments any council member would like to make?
Bruce, Philip here. Just a technical question. How's the nomination period actually closed now? Therefore, do we have the possibility of having a vote if we were to choose that? Perhaps Glenn, there are sources on this.
Yeah, it's a fair question. My interpretation of this is that a nomination would need to come from a council member, and this is the day that the nominations are set to close, although we didn't actually set a specific time. So, for example, for me, it's the 20th in actual fact, so I'm actually on the Friday rather than the Thursday. I think for most people in the world, it's certainly past business hours on the Thursday. So I personally would be comfortable that the nomination period has closed as I originally described, that if anyone feels strongly that they have someone else they want to nominate now, then that's fine. But I think if that's not the case, I would propose that we move to a vote.
I would second that.
Okay, are there any other comments, or are we comfortable moving to a vote?
I'll call for the question and call for the vote.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Okay, well, I'll go through the list as normal, and if you are carrying a proxy, that should have been notified to Glenn in advance, and you may vote.
Well, this is Alejandro. Before you proceed, do you think it should be...
I do think that Alejandro probably, if he has not already, should probably leave the call.
I think that would be polite, yes.
I repeat my question. I personally think that procedurally it would be preferable for me to leave the call.
Okay, thank you, Alejandro.
Okay, so I'll get in contact later either by phone or by email with you, and thanks a lot for your time. Thank you very much. Bye.
Buenas noches.
Bye.
Buenos días. Hello.
Okay, Philip Shepherd?
I vote yes. In favor.
Okay, Marilyn Cain?
In favor.
Grant Forsyth?
In favor.
Ken Stubbs?
In favor.
Kerry Carr?
In favor.
Jordan Buchanan?
I vote yes.
Tony Harris?
In favor.
Tony Holmes?
In favor. In favor.
That's a bit of an echo there. Greg Root? Okay, does anyone hold a proxy for Greg?
Bruce, could I just check whether Glenn has received a proxy for Greg?
Tony, to the best of my knowledge, I have not received a proxy for Greg because he had answered some time ago to the phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll note that as absent. Jessup Wu? Carlos Alfonso. Mark Schneider. Yes.
I say that officially Jessica and Carlos Alfonso have given their proxy to Mark Schneider.
Okay. Mark Schneider.
This is Mark Schneider. Can you hear me, Bruce?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yes. I had some problem with the muting, unmuting. I vote in favor, and so do Yisuk Wu and Carlos Alfonso. Thank
good. You. Thank you, Mark. Ross Rader?
In favor.
Tom Keller?
In favor.
Okay, I vote in favour. Nicholas Lagergren?
I'm in favour.
Okay, Kiyoshi Tsuru?
In favour.
Thank you, Kiyoshi. Lucy Nichols?
I vote in favour.
Thank you, Lucy. Amadeo?
In favour. Let me hold the proxy.
Okay. And Demi, for yourself? Thank you, Demi. And Alec Wilson?
In favour.
Okay. That means we have 26 out of the 27 votes in favour, and one vote is absent, being Greg Ruth. So that motion is passed. And so Alejandro is elected for another term on the board. So it's good that we've been able to efficiently conduct that process.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. I have a question.
Yes. Go ahead, Marilyn.
And do I understand that with the modification of the voting procedure, we do not have to have now a paper ratification? Before, we had to have a verbal ratification of paper vote. So we...
Huh.
I just want to verify that we do not need to take any other step.
Nothing. Bruce Philippe, my understanding is, and that's fine because this is a properly constituted meeting of the council, so we've done the thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. If we do a vote via email, we have to ratify it via
right.
a meeting where we can all hear each other. So that's why we've had to do that in the case where we've had an email vote. We've got to actually ratify it. But as we can all hear each other while we're doing this vote counts. And Philip points out it's been a formal vote of council. Okay, is there any other business anyone would like to raise?
This is Barbara. Are you going to have a further discussion of the PDP process?
Not more than what we've done so far, I think.
Okay.
Philip here, Bruce, I'd just like to congratulate you for conducting a meeting in 1 hour, 25 minutes.
Thank you, even if I wasn't there for the first 10.
Thank you,
Philip.
Who is the barking dog?
Bruce, can I join the queue?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the allowing me to participate in this meeting. I think the GAC in the next 6 to 12 months will spend an increasing amount of time considering the policies and orientations relevant to the creation of new top-level domains. I don't know what this will lead to, but I think it's fair in terms of liaising with your distinguished committee just to let you know that recent conference calls and exchanges between GAC members have led to the conclusion that the new top-level domain issue, including the IDN aspect, should be should have a high priority in the work of the GAC.
Good. Thank you, Christopher. Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for attending the call and also thank Philip for chairing in my absences. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.